Studio 360.
Twyla Tharp's choreography is performed by companies all over the world. And more than 50 years after her first dance piece, now at age 76, she is still making new work. She just had a show in New York City called Dylan Love Songs, a series of dances set to the music of Bob Dylan, which is a perfect example of what people love about Twyla Tharp. She's this serious choreographer who also unabashedly embraces and choreographs to familiar pop music. In 2002, she won a Tony Award for the Broadway musical Movin' Out, which had a score consisting entirely of Billy Joel songs. And then she created an excellent Broadway show that I saw based on one of her earliest musical inspirations.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow.
My mother considered Sinatra to be the end-all and be-all of popular singers, and I don't disagree with her. I have listened to some of these songs literally thousands of times by now, and I still feel that there's an emotional content in them that matches the musical ability the man had.
My finger, lucky me, can't you see I'm in love?
Back in 2010, Twyla Tharp came in to talk about Come Fly Away, her show built around Sinatra songs. She'd started listening when she was a kid growing up in Southern California.
I grew up in a strange family.
Didn't we all?
Yes. But for my purposes, mine is more useful probably than having grown up in yours might have been. I grew up in a drive-in theater, for one thing.
Literally?
Yes.
Your parents ran it?
Yes, they owned it.
And cool.
I know. I started working there when I was 8 years old.
This is in Southern California?
Southern California. I worked there until I went away to college regularly, saw all the films, and more importantly, saw all the films often with no sound because I would not be in a car where the speakers where I'd be outside watching the big screen. So I learned to read action. But that was after already having endured my brothers and sister. My brothers are twins, and my sister was born 3 days before they were a year old. And essentially, they lived in the same room, and they were triplets.
Younger?
Yes. And they
evolved. You seem like an oldest child to me.
Yes, thank you. And they evolved what's called Italalia. They developed a sign language, and they created their own language, which they spoke, so-called, before learning any language. And when they started in grade school, they couldn't speak English. They could speak Italalia, which was mostly sign language. It was movement. And I was the family translator between the parents and the siblings. And so I learned to read movement.
Is that why, with this show, as in your other most of your other work, on Broadway, you work without a book and a story and dialogue, but stick to the music and the dancing?
We have a book, we have a story, and we have dialogue. They are not spoken. The book is a series of action that transpires in exactly the way that silent film functions. The dialogue is when in a duet there is a conversation that is silent between the two partners.
So you decide, here's the 20 songs here, or how many ever songs there are, here's the order, and then you figure out the story you're going to tell around them?
Yes and no. I mean, basically, I try to start that way. There will be changes,
sure,
obviously, but there's a lot of balancing to be done because in this show, there are four couples whose relationship evolves. So that the pacing of the action had to be very carefully balanced, the right songs found for the right couples, and then the right sequence found so that there would be an overall musical pacing for two acts.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars.
There's a great sequence when a female dancer is tossed all over the stage by three male dancers. Seemed to me this fantastically sort of virtuoso, athletic, but effortless-seeming Twyla Tharp kind of moment. Do you have that in your head as you hear that song? How does that work in the making of this show process?
It's partially, it's a pun, which I love to do, a little because of the three little ones, the triplets. Fly me to the moon. Okay, let's fly this girl. So we toss her and turn her and we lift her and we swoop her and we swing her. But it's also a genre for me, a kind of partnering that I have worked on throughout the years of a single female partnered by a number of men. And how do you do this? Just as a bare bones sort of technical matter.
And then about midway through the show, there's this downbeat, introspective solo danced to this song.
As a man who has always had the wandering ways, now I'm reaching back for yesterday. Till a long forgotten love appears.
That's the September of my years. Can you describe what your dancers do?
Okay, this is a gorgeous performance. I think that, obviously, it's in many ways it's the most profoundly moving of the songs in the evening. And it's danced by the character who's called Sid, who is an older character. And this kid, who is an amazing dancer, Charlie Hodges, it bounds about the stage and jumps and lifts and turns and can do anything
He's
and
young.
Everything. And you see our character, Sid, go to the center of the stage. And this is a monologue. This is his response to the sense of, well, yeah, you're no longer so young, guy. And the girls aren't coming to you, are they? And he's grounded. He's more weighted. And it's a very, to me, moving moment because it's a great dancer, I love very much, who I've been working with for over 20 years. And it's true. It's the September of his years. And what he's able to do at the peak of his abilities. He's an amazing dancer technically, but he has a maturity that is very rare.
The golden warm September of my years.
You've also worked in film, and one of my all-time favorite scenes in film is in Hair, which you worked on, where these horses in Central Park dance. How do you do that?
Well, how you do it is first you have the idea, which was Mike Weller and Milos were working on that script for probably nearly a year. When I started to work on the picture, and I worked on the script with them for a year before we started shooting.
Really? They let you work on the script?
What do you mean, let? It was part of my job.
Okay.
No, and they were very generous about it. I didn't know much about structuring a scene, but I knew that if you're in the park and you want to try and elevate the naturalism into the musical world, how do you kick it into song and dance?
Well, somebody's on acid.
The best thing to do, particularly if you're a bunch of hippies, is have the horses under the authorities start to dance. So they like that idea, and we got dancing horses. But
You just order up dancing horses?
Yes, they're special.
Really?
Lapis owners, right?
Oh,
and they're a special breed, and they're trained to perform certain rhythmic maneuvers. And, of course, I did not teach them our steps. I taught the dancers the horses' steps, who were pre-trained and flowing into us.
Do you think about how and where your work will be performed 50, 100 years from now?
Very definitely. I'm very involved with archiving and with education. I often say dance is the only art form without an artifact. It has no score.
Right.
It has no text. It has no painting.
And that's left a fraught history.
It is, yes. It's also, might I point out, the oldest and the most original of art forms because, You cannot do anything until you can move. You can't write a song. You can't paint a painting. And dance has a huge, long history, but it's not been recorded nor documented, and that's no longer necessary. It's not just a thing that's ephemeral. It does have a container. Video obviously has made this possible, but video is deceptive because that's only one performance. And so I have a very extensive video archive. I started in 1969, and there are thousands of tapes.
It's interesting. In 1969, you were doing this. At age 26, you knew that you were going to be a world-class choreographer for the ages?
I graduated from Barnard College in art history.
Still?
Listen, by age 26, I'd done a lot. My mother's name is Liesl, and I think of her as the equivalent of Wolfgang's father, Leopold, and had somewhat of the same kind of constructed childhood. So by age 26, I'd been working already and making dances since I was 4 years old.
And I guess as the oldest child, you become an adult at like age 10.
Yes, an adult when they were born. I became an adult when they were born.
Twyla Tharp, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
In November in London, Twyla Tharp will premiere a new piece with the Royal Ballet called The Illustrated Farewell, as in Haydn's very familiar Farewell Symphony.